So welcome to this Sabbath day of hearing God's word and receiving God's grace in the sacraments of Holy Baptism and Holy Communion. A day of celebration and thanksgiving that we share with the angels in heaven, as you heard in Hebrews, and all of those who have gone before us, and with the whole church on earth. This day of rest and renewal is a marvelous gift from God, coming to us as one of God's commands to humans. It was such an important command in the Jewish faith that in Jesus' day, Jews regarded the Sabbath as the most central distinguishing mark of their faith, one that they celebrated, saying that no other nation had a God who had given such a gift. And so they guarded it carefully with all kinds of rules about things one could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. And a lot of those rules revolved around what was considered work. You weren't allowed to do anything like starting a fire or gathering wood or labor, but there was an exception if it was necessary to save a life, like feeding your animals. You could give medical care if it was an emergency. But what's an emergency? To Jesus, stopping the woman's suffering was an emergency. She comes to worship, just as you have done today, bringing her pain, like some of you, but not complaining. She doesn't ask Jesus for anything. But Jesus goes to her, calls her over, and takes her pain away. The religious leaders are not happy because it looks like he's breaking a Sabbath rule. But Jesus says it's a divine necessity that God needs for Jesus to show God's compassion, no matter what the rules imply. Now, there was plenty of work that was allowed and encouraged and mandated for the Sabbath. Study the Bible, worship, pray, and thank God for the Exodus which had freed God's people from bondage. The Sabbath was a celebration of God's saving action in freeing people. All of those things that you could do were divine necessities, celebrating that gift from God. But here Jesus adds another divine necessity, showing compassion. He models the Sabbath as an ideal time to show compassion by releasing someone who is in bondage to disease and pain. It's appropriate then that here we here at Advent, when we come on the Sabbath, we bring our offerings of money and goods for those who are afflicted in some way. And it's appropriate that we celebrate on this Sabbath God's compassionate acceptance and forgiveness that frees us from all those sins and burdens that we are in bondage to. That's also a divine necessity. Because one of the things that most of us are in bondage to is perfectionism. Since we live in a world of reciprocity, a world of transaction, we bring that same orientation to our relationship with God. We want to bring God selves that will make God love us, make us acceptable to God, and make us look perfect before God. Part of that springs from the satanic idea that we can choose to get right with God by keeping the Sabbath laws and all those other commandments perfectly, and hoping that your interpretation of what that means is right. In the baptismal rite, You'll be asked to renounce Satan and the powers of evil. Renounce all those things that tempt you to earn God's love. In renouncing Satan, you invite Jesus to release you from the bondage to the fear that you will fail. So what other things are you in bondage to? What are those oughts in your life? What do you feel guilty about not doing well enough? What makes you anxious about not being good enough? And what would set you free? Perhaps what might occur to you is the old hymn, "Take it to the Lord in prayer." Only God can change you. Only the Holy Spirit working in you can give you the trust in God, that God finds you and receives you acceptable just as you are. That's what baptizing an infant says loudly and clearly. It's God's work and God's alone. So if there's nothing that we can do, there's nothing we can do to make God love us, what's the point of those commandments? God gives us laws for living together that protect life and relationships, including the law that gives us the gift of Sabbath time. These laws frame a bunch of oughts. We ought to protect life and reputations and relationships and the property of our neighbors. But Jesus tells those gathered in the synagogue for Sabbath worship that the primary ought of God's kingdom is the importance of the person who's in bondage, the importance of freeing each other. He says to his critics, "Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" And that's what we do here in worship. We announce that God has freed us from the power and bondage of sin and Satan. Today we have the special joy as Evelyn, this daughter of Abraham, here among us, is set free from sin and the deadly weight of believing that she has to somehow earn eternal life with God. That's how we keep the Sabbath. Martin Luther's explanation of the Sabbath day commandment never mentions work or rest. He says, remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy means that we not despise God's word, but gladly hear and learn it. We are freed from thinking that our worship is about us, and free to remember that it's about God. That in worship, it is God who feeds us with himself in word and sacrament, and so refreshes us that we are empowered and strengthened to feed others in our serving. We're baptized and set free to be the people that God created us to be. The Sabbath is not a day of rest from work, but a day of resting for work, a time apart with God to strengthen and refresh us for our discipleship. It's a time to learn about what changes your life could make and what enabling actions you can take to let your light shine before others so that they will thank God for you. You, not the person next to you, not the person better educated, more experienced, richer, healthier, someone with fewer responsibilities, someone who has their act together. You. When God gave the Old Testament Jeremiah a prophecy task, Jeremiah said, "I'm just a kid, and I'm not skilled at public speaking." And God said, Don't be afraid. I've got this. Get busy with the work that I gave you. I've had this plan for you since before you were born. You too. God has a plan for you, and when you mess it up, God's good with going with plan B or plan C or plan, well, yeah, you get it. God has a plan for each of you. God has a plan for Evelyn, who, like the psalmist, can say that she has come to lean on God from her birth. She's here today, being the person that God created her to be, doing the work God calls her to today. Do not say, Evelyn, or any of the rest of you, she's only a baby. She's a daughter of Abraham, and it's a divine necessity to free her on this Sabbath. So rejoice, O church. At the end of the story about the woman Jesus healed, the criticism stops and everyone rejoices. And so we all, with all creation, all children of Abraham, all children of God, we await that final Sabbath when our rejoicing together will have no end. That's the promise of our baptism, and for that we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.